Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord marvelous? He's here in this place, and I am so honored to have this opportunity to be able to share his heart. I'm going to invite you to open the scripture, if you have a Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. Matthew, chapter 15, verse 21. And the title of my message tonight is When Jesus is Silent. When Jesus is silent. The word of God reads, Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman from Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her, not a word. Father, I ask you, God, that you will touch me right now, God. I put myself in your hands, Lord Jesus, and I ask you that I will represent who you are tonight. Father, you know the audience in this auditorium, Father. Father, you know their needs, Father. Father, you know that sometimes maybe they have spoken to you and they haven't heard an answer. But tonight, you have their answer for their problems. Tonight, you're bringing the solution. So I ask you, God, that you will work in their hearts. I come against any thought of distraction, anything that will try to rob what you have brought to them tonight. Father, prepare the hearts. And we thank you that you are present in this place. And we welcome you again, Jesus, and we give you the glory and the honor. Amen. This scripture is very precious, and in fact, it is listed in the Bible twice, not only in the book of Matthew, but also in the book of Mark. And it talks about a woman. The other part of the scripture talks about that she was a Syrian Phoenician woman, a Canaan woman, Hellenic, Greek, which means that she wasn't part of what we call the children of Israel. And as I started searching out to find out what kind of culture she had, I realized that in her culture, her beliefs, they believed more than 20 gods. They had different practices that were very immoral in their temples. They had prostitution. They were with a very wicked life. In fact, many of the people from Canaan came and induced the Israelites to get away from God. And they had very perverted lives. And the scripture talks that this woman had a very, very sad situation. And it is that her daughter was severely demon-possessed. She was being tormented by a demon. And I don't know if you can understand what being tormented means. Tormented means to be severely afflicted, whether it is physical or mentally. And she had a little girl that was being tormented by a demon. That wasn't a joke. That was a very serious condition. I believe she took her to the doctors. She went to her gods and she started trying and imploring for assistance, and nobody could help her. She went to this God, nothing happened. She went to another God, nothing happened. She would give sacrifices. She did all that she could do in her own ability, but there was no solution. Most likely people told her, you know what? The case of your daughter, it's a very special case. There's no solution. You just have to get used to it. And tonight, I don't know if you can relate to this little girl. I can relate because as a little girl, I was afflicted with a disease. It was very painful and very difficult for me. And as I was growing, I would suffer every day. So I do relate with this little girl. And perhaps you're not a little girl no more, but maybe you have been suffering from something that torments you. Maybe at night you try to sleep, you cannot sleep. Maybe there's thoughts of suicide that torment your mind. Maybe there's voices that tell you you're nothing, you're garbage, you better kill yourself. And you go through the day, you put makeup, you fix yourself, but nobody knows the torment that you're suffering, because outside you're showing a smile, but inside you're lonely, you're depressed, and you're counting your days, and you see everything in darkness. This was the experience of this little girl. And you wonder, why a little girl had to go through that? Why? That is not fair. But I'll tell you that there's something, a condition that absolutely every human being suffers. And that condition is called sin. Sometimes we don't even know what sin is. But sin is exactly every behavior or action that you and I take that it is against God. If I go ahead and say, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and cheat on my way here and obtain this. Or maybe if I say I'm going to steal this to obtain that. Or I said, maybe I have a pregnancy that it wasn't unwanted. And I say, you know, this is not convenient for me. And I just get rid of the child that I have in my womb. That sin, something that comes against the principles that God has established. The Bible says that God created man and woman. He created us perfect. Back in the Garden of Eden, he made female, male, and he gave them all that they could have. He just told them, please do not eat from this tree. But men have also a free choice. And he decided to disobey the Lord. And they took out of the fruit. It looked attractive, desirable, and they ate. And the Bible says that because of disobedience, sin entered into the world. And not only because of them, now this sin comes from generations to generations. Whatever action you take in your life will have a consequence. Amen. My father used to smoke a lot, and then he developed cancer in his lungs. Was it God trying to punish him? No, it was his decision. He had a choice. And that was his consequences. And now you're wondering why this little girl is suffering, being demon-possessed, being tormented day and night. Why? Most likely because of the consequence of sin. And the worst of sin is that you can affect yourself. But my friend, the truth is not only your actions will affect yourself, but they will also affect others that surround you. We hear in the testimonies how in an unfunctional home, children get hurt. People exposing one another to drugs. We can influence other people. The Bible says that the Canaanites also influence the children of God. And many of them draw them away from the Lord and told them, look at this God. And it was a very sensual culture. But now we see this case of this woman being in a very desperate situation for a little girl. And she was so disappointed to all her gods. Because I tell you, you may be trying to look for a God to answer your request, a God from the world, but they will never answer you back. You may try this, you may try that, but it will always bring disappointment. As I was looking at the culture of the Canaanites, I was like, okay, they would sacrifice children for Baal. They would do all these kind of ugly things. And then I thought, this really looks like my culture where I live right now. We don't have maybe a statue called Baal, but we do worship in here other things. It could be money. It could be a career. It could be a relationship. It could be yourself. We may live in another era. We are in 2015 right now. But men have always the same tendencies, trying to find something that will satisfy you. But like this woman, disappointed because she couldn't get her answer. But in her research, she was trying to find a solution. And then she heard about her neighbors, the Israelites, the Jewish people, that there was a man called Jesus Christ. She heard the story of a man who was caught in himself, who was demon-possessed, and who was killing himself, beating up himself, and that Jesus had set him free. He heard maybe a story of a man who had a little boy who was demon-possessed, and the demon would throw him into the water, into the fire to destroy him. But then Jesus set him free. And how she longed to have that opportunity to come and see Jesus. But she lived in another country. In fact, I was doing research and it was Lebanon, modern Lebanon. But I love that my Jesus, when you can get closer to him, he will make a way to get closer to you. And tonight, Jesus is making a way to get closer to you. I don't know your situation, but you came tonight here. And I'm telling you, I have good news. Jesus Christ, who is in the house tonight, can set you free. He can set you free from your depression. He can set you free from those tormenting nights that you have. If you would let him, and if you would open your heart to him. The scriptures read that she came and she cried to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." She had gone to all Baal. I know, I was reading another scripture that people, when the priests of Baal were trying to pray to Baal, they were screaming, they were cutting themselves, trying to, very dramatic. So she had never had an encounter again with Jesus. So she thought, well, you know, the way how I approach these other guys, I'm going to do the same thing. And she started screaming. And she said, I'm going to get my vocabulary ready, you know. She investigated, son of David. She found all the information, have mercy. That sounded good. And she came, you know, she was a very persistent woman, very independent. And she said, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the disciples are looking at her. She's making a big noise. And Jesus answers nothing. The Bible reads that his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. And sometimes I wonder, oh my goodness. Sometimes there's a lot of people that are desperate. And sometimes some people that call themselves the godly ones, the Christian ones, or maybe the religious ones, are not sensitive to the needs of others. And they were pushing her away. But Jesus had gone all the way to there not to push that woman away. And as soon as the disciples are trying to get rid of her, Jesus opened his mouth and speaks to her and says to her, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wow. Here I am with a need, and you're telling me that you are sent only to the sheep of Israel. And so many times we're trying to get closer to God one way or the other, whatever motivation we may have. Perhaps at this point, she wasn't really trying to get in a relationship with God. She just had a need that needed to be met. But in there it says that Jesus told her that he was sent only for the sheep of Israel. That meant the people of God. That meant the Jewish people. And a lot of people tend to say, wow, Jesus, why did you say that? That was kind of rude. You shouldn't have said that. But I'll tell you, it had nothing to do with her nationality, because there were a lot of Gentiles who had chosen to follow the God of Israel, and these Gentiles were being blessed by God. In fact, we had Ruth, who was a Gentile from Moab, a Moabite woman who came into the blessing of God. We have a centurion. It wasn't that. But the fact was that she had chosen not to be identified with the God of Israel. Because I'll tell you what, if you want to be identified with the God of Israel, that means that you have to put away the other gods. Because God doesn't share his glory. Or are you with God or you're not? You have to make a decision. And at that point, she had not yet made a decision. But when she realized, I'm not part of the sheep of Israel, look what she did. The scripture reads, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And when I was looking, I could see this woman crying because she was desperate at this point. She had been hearing about God. She had been hearing about Jesus, and now she said she worshiped him. She took a decision. No longer she was going to come with her manipulation of screaming out and doing all these dramatic things. Now she came and worshiped the Lord. I looked for the word worship, and I was so touched to see that it was the same worship word that the people in heaven do when they come in and fall in front of the altar, in front of the Lord of Lords. I was so touched with that. But unfortunately, the Bible says at this point that as she said, "Lord, help me," Jesus spoke to her and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." Wow, that was a big blow. Now he's calling her a dog. I'm not gonna sugarcoat. This is the scripture. And I wonder, and again, all of us, we can come and say, "Well, that's not fair." You know what I mean? You can just, he wasn't a Jewish person, can you just do the favor? It's like if I come in here and I get very upset at the people in New York City and I say, "You know, these leaders that have been elected, these representatives are not good." And then I'm just screaming out and then they come to find out that I don't live in New York. I live in New Jersey. So they're going to say, "Excuse me, miss, you know what? You can be talking all the talk that you want, but you don't live in this state. Therefore, you don't have legal rights to come and speak your mind in here. Go back and speak to your town, not in here." This is what's happening with her. She didn't have no legal ties. But now Jesus is saying to her, "It is not good to give the bread of the children and cast it out to the dogs." And I was thinking, it took me a long time. I was like, "God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. It sounds so unfair." But then it came to my mind that Jesus was just saying to her, "I cannot give you something that belongs to others." And then I thought, well, it is the same as I come and I tell you, you come and you work in your job a whole full month. And then I just happen to go to the human resources department, I grab your check, I take it with me, I cash it, and I use it for good causes. How would you feel about that? You would be saying, "Carla, that's not fair." Exactly. That is not fair because I'm taking something that is not mine and I'm using it, but I have a good excuse. I'm going to go ahead and donate your money to Feed New York, Pass the Bread, Child Cry, Hogar Renacer. I'm going to give it to them. But you will still say, "You know, you're doing something that is not fair because this money doesn't belong to you, Carla." And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. It is not good to give the bread of the children and give it to somebody else. But you know what? There was something very particular about this woman. And it is that before she went and sought for Jesus, because by the way, Jesus made sure nobody would know that he was in town. But she was a woman that was persistent. She was a woman that knew what she wanted and she pursued it. Because she knew that her gods that she had worshipped before were selfish gods. Sometimes they would be moody, but when she started investigating about the God of Israel, she realized that it was a God that was a just God, a God of love, a God of mercy. She never seen that in her town, but now learning about the God of Israel, it had caught her attention. And as soon as Jesus said to her, "I cannot give you this bread because this bread doesn't belong to you," there was something that inspired her. And she said, "Lord, I understand." The Bible says that she came and she admitted what she was. She said, "Yes, I'm not of the children of Israel. I'm a Gentile, and I admit it." And that's something that I want to let you know, is that when we come and we confront our situation, we need to realize who we are. Jesus is not only looking for us to come to him. He's looking for people that will repent and people who will recognize who they are. You have to take responsibility of who you are and say, "You know what? I cannot make it." She said, "Lord, help me." And she said, "Yes, I realize that I am not part of this family." But the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And perhaps there was a day that she heard that Jesus said, "Oh, if you have the faith like a little seed of a mustard seed, you can tell this mountain, to move, and the mountains will move away. And she said, I may not get a piece of bread, but a little crumb of Jesus will be enough to set my daughter free. And she came, and the Bible says that she says, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's tables. And at that moment, Jesus just went like that. Wow! He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Let your request be done as you have said. I tell you, she won the heart of Jesus with that comment that she made. And tonight, I'm coming here not to offer you crumbs. I come here to offer you the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. He said, come, come to me, and you shall never thirst. You shall never be hungry again. At this time, Jesus Christ had not died. That's why it was so difficult for this woman to make it through. But today, I'm coming to tell you that Jesus had made a way. Yes, he came and he paid the price for you and for me. None of us deserve to be saved. All of us were a bunch of dogs. We deserve to be dead. We deserve to go to hell, because the Bible says that the pages, whatever you get paid for sin is death. But the Bible says that the gift that God gives is eternal life. And the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, would not die, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came. At that moment, he had not died. There was not yet provision paid. It's like at that moment, he had not paid the price. But very soon, he was just counting the hours to be able to go and surrender his life so that you and me could have access to him. Jesus said to you today, come to me. I am the bread of life. Come to me. I'm the one who will set you free. The Bible says that the little girl, at the very hour, she was delivered. And when she went back home, she found her laying in her bed. I was wondering, what was this demon doing to this little girl? And I said, what is the devil doing to you? Trying to destroy you, trying to torture you. But I'm telling you, there is a solution here tonight. Jesus is present in here, and he's telling you, come to me, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will set you free. Oh, I love you, says Jesus. I love you. I gave my life for you. That's the Jesus that I'm talking about. A Jesus that will give you. He will be the last person in the world. He will give his life for you because you are so precious to him. But like this woman, you just cannot come for the benefits. You have to make your mind. And you just have to come just as you are and say, God, I worship you, and I surrender. Help me. She said, help me, Lord. I can't do it. Help me. And I tell you, as for the story, even though there were a lot of blocks, there were a lot of obstacles for the healing of her daughter, we can see that with Jesus, Jesus is a God that is merciful. Perhaps in your past life, you may have had experiences, and that you maybe have felt that God had left you down. Maybe you say, well, in this moment, if God would have been there, things would have been different. But I've come to tell you, Jesus has been always there for you, every time. The only problem is that the Bible says that iniquity, sin, separates us from God, that he cannot hear. That is a block. That was the block that this woman had, sin. And that's the block that all of us have. But the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteous things that we are. And maybe you say, well, you know what? I have never done anything bad. I'm a good person. I just do things for myself. But I tell you, the Bible says that all of us are sinners. All of us. There's no one in here from that side of here. Everyone in there singing? All of you over there? A bunch of sinners. But saved by grace, including me. I tell you, I deserve hell. But Jesus set me free. I love the story how Jesus delivered this little girl. My pastor always talks about that when he was looking for God, he says that, he said, oh God, if you for real, I want the whole thing. And that he gave his heart to the Lord. I think he said that he was 24. In my case, I was, as I said before, I grew up with this sickness. It was very tormenting. It was called juvenile arthritis. And it was very painful, especially when it would get cold. And I remember suffering and being in pain all my life. But when I was 3, somebody took me to church. And I tell you, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God, because I started hearing that there was a Jesus that healed the blind, healed the paralytic, gave life to the dead, and rose people from death. And you know what? I believed. And I said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. And I meant it. I didn't know much theology, but I wanted that Jesus. And there was something that I was suffering, because the doctor had told my mom that at the age of 12, I was going to end up in a wheelchair. And there was something that I had. I was a very fearful little girl. People would talk to me. I would hide on my mother's skirts. I suffered of much fear. But I remember in my country, in my Spanish church, I heard a song that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know he holds my future. Porque él vive, yo no temo del mañana. Porque yo sé que él conoce mi futuro. And when I heard those words, I had a joy. And I said, thank you, God, that I don't have to fear no more. And I tell you, the Bible says that the truth love casts out fear. And it was in that moment when the love of Jesus came into my life. I was a little girl, but you don't need to be a big person to be set free. This was a little girl who got set free by the power of Jesus Christ. For the power of Jesus Christ, there is no age, there is no race, there is no social status limits. Anybody can come to Jesus Christ. And tonight, I want to make that invitation as the musicians come and play in the background. I want to invite you to open your heart. You may not understand everything that I said, especially I talk a lot and I'm talk fast. And with a heavy accent, doesn't help. But I hope you can hear the heart of God, who can use any foolish thing. That's what I like. I love Jesus, you know. Glory to him. I want to invite you to come into the front. Don't be concerned about what people say. Nobody's going to be looking at you. This is between Jesus and you. I want you to come. If you're not even sure if tonight you were to die, where would you go? Because I tell you, this life is short. We are here. But then we go to heaven, those who have our name written in the book of life. But if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't said, Jesus, come into my heart, I receive you today, your name is not written. Just like that poor woman, she was not registered. Jesus said she came for the lost sheep of Israel. That means that this sheep belonged to God. They just were scattered. But if you will grab one of these sheep, you can look at the legend and it said, belongs to God. They were just lost. But she was not even out of the lost sheep. She was just out of it. So Jesus is saying to you, I want you to be part of my house. I want you to be mine. I want you to have my name written in your life. And the only way is when you come like this woman and say, Lord, I need you. I recognize I cannot do it through myself. You know, you try and nothing worked. And you just get disappointed, left down, you stop, taking advantage. But Jesus will never take advantage of you. He will embrace you, love you, restore you, and make you new if you come to Jesus. I'm going to, I don't know, whatever you will struggle. I don't know what it is. But the safest thing to be is in the arm of Jesus. So I want to invite you to come here into the front as we sing a song. Come here. You don't even know. I gave my heart when I was 3. And look, I'm here. And I'm so glad I gave my heart to Jesus, because he has delivered me of so many things that the devil planned for me. thank God, God protected me. But if you are like her, out of the loop, out of the protection of God, this is the time tonight to come. He says, come to me if you're tired, if you're lost, if you're confused, like my pastors, like they say, they gave their hearts to Jesus. Elder Jerry and his wife, you see, two different people, but they both had the same need, and you had the same need. So I'm going to invite you, as the musicians come to the front. We will pray for you. Hallelujah. The presence of God is in this place, and you can feel it. I'll tell you, make your way to receive the Lord. You can ask your neighbor and say, would you like to receive the Lord? You can ask him right now, would you like to receive it? If you're not sure, ask them. Because tonight is here. Tomorrow is not promise. Tomorrow is not promise. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's longing to change you and to heal you. And not only that, he not only restores your heart and life, but he also heals your body. I'm here to tell you that I gave my heart to Jesus when I was 3, but I still had that sickness. And I started praying. I was 4. Pray when I was 5. And I said, Jesus, heal me when I was 6. And guess what happened when I was 7? Who can guess? No, I didn't get healed. But I kept praying because I knew that Jesus is for real. And I knew he had power. And it was till I was 9 when Jesus said, this is your day. And he touched me and he healed me. And I'm standing in here healed, telling you that there is healing in the name of Jesus. And tonight, if there's a sickness in your body, I come to tell you that Jesus can heal you tonight if he chooses. If you will believe, if you have the faith like a little seed of a mustard seed, that sickness can go away because there's power in the name of Jesus. So I'm going to pray for those who are going to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And after that, I would like to pray for the sick people because I believe in my Jesus. And there's healing. And I said, I was like always going whenever they say anybody, they're going to pray for people to get healed. I will always run to the altar. I didn't care people. Oh, yeah, the girl always comes. This girl keeps coming. I didn't care about people. I was like that woman. I don't care what the disciples said. I want my healing. And she got it. So you can too. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for those who are going to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the best decision that you can ever do. And I'll tell you, when you invite Jesus in your heart, you will never be the same. Yeah, you will look the same, but there's going to be a shine in you. It's the presence of God. Like our sister said, like rivers of living water flowing through her life. I'm going to invite you to repeat after me as I pray. You repeat what I said. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for giving your life, for dying on the cross, suffering for me. Thank you for caring all the bad things that I have done and for paying the price for my life. Tonight, I invite you to come into my life. Come, Jesus. Cleanse me. Purify me. I give my heart to you. And now I belong to you. I ask you, Jesus, that you will fill me with your Holy Spirit. Teach me your word so I can grow in faith and I can learn to love you more and more. I thank you for what you're going to do and what you have already done. In your name I pray. Amen. And if you're one person that are dealing with a sickness, there is healing in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand one of your hands and do it by faith. This is by faith. If you're dealing with any sickness, whatever it could be cancer, it could be AIDS, it could be any other sickness, some problem with the lungs, with the bones, any deformation. Jesus understood the pain that little girl was going through. And he was moved with compassion. And he's moved with compassion tonight. He knew you were going to come. And I know that tonight people are going to get healed right now. Believe it. Extend your hand right now. Father God, there is healing in your name, Jesus. I come before you and I present every single hand that is standing in here, God, as a declaration that yes, there's a need of healing in their bodies, God. Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that as I speak, God, that the power of God will come. Touch everyone right now, God. Quicken them, Holy Spirit. I ask you, God, that you will touch their bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, is there anybody going through an oppression like the little girl? Set them free in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, Father, if there's any sickness, cancer cells in their bodies, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, remove it, God. Remove it, God. Touch them, heal them, Father God, as you did, God, as you did me, Lord Jesus, many years ago. Father, you're the same today, tomorrow, and forever. You never change. Heal everyone in here, God. Look at their needs. Look at their requests. And perhaps there's people standing in here for others that are not present in here, just like this woman that we read, Lord. Father, I ask you that the healing will be instant as well, God, that as they return home, their family members will be healed. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is healing. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, God. And everybody say amen.